Joining us now on the Birmingham Broker Hotline, it's the one and only Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com, ReaganBabe.com. Hello, Megan, and how are you today?
I'm doing great, Richard. How are you?
I am exquisite, as always. Joe Biden going to come out and talk tough on crime soon. It's interesting that I don't have a time on when he's going to do that. Really? We're just loosey-goosey in the White House now? Are you sure he hasn't called a lid on the day? We don't really know. But for some reason, he seems to think that, guns and crime are synonymous, and so most of what he's going to be talking about has to do with restrictions on guns. We don't significantly have more guns in this country today than we did, 10 years ago. How exactly does that explain the increase in homicides? Can you clarify for me?
Well, I would love to. Thank you for asking. You know, I have some statistics here that were printed, I believe, by the FBI. Let me just run them down. In Atlanta, homicides are up 58%, shootings are up 40%, New York City up 13%, shootings up 64%. Portland, homicides are up 533%, shootings are up 126%. Chicago up 5%, but they're already leading the murder rate in the country. Shootings are up 18%. Los Angeles homicides are up 22%. Shootings are up 51%. And then rounding off the large cities, Philadelphia homicides are up 37%, and shootings are up 27%. Now I have to ask you, Richard, outside of Major League Baseball teams, what do all of those large cities have in common as far as political leadership?
Could it be that they're all run by Democrats? Is that the deal? Is that the story?
Yes. And they've all taken on the Marxist position, the communist position. We don't have more guns in this country, but we certainly have more outspoken communists in power. And all of these cities have adopted these Marxist slogans through defunding the police. So when you defund the police, there seems to be a correlation in the spike in homicides and shootings and overall crime. Last week, Portland not only took out a Wall Street Journal article or a New York Times article saying, come to Portland, we never know what's going to happen here, but we like it that way. Well, guess what happens in Portland? Riots, murders, crime, Antifa parades, quote unquote, that are usually police escorted. But in Portland, the entire riot squad resigned in unison. So we can probably assume that there are going to be more riots in Portland, much like there's more crime when you defund the police. When the riot squad resigns, you can probably bet there will be more riots.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet. I pointed that out earlier in this show that, the entire riot squad just said, you've made it impossible for us to do our jobs. We're leaving. And that's the same reason that one-third of Minneapolis and Seattle police officers have resigned. They just said, and they didn't all retire. I mean, some of them just moved I'm very familiar with Minneapolis, having grown up there. You know, there's places nearby. Anoka is nearby. Richfield is nearby. Edina is nearby. All of these suburbs would be very happy to hire Minneapolis-trained police officers and probably pay them better and let them do their jobs, you know? So why in the world should I stick around in a place where you're making my life miserable when these other people are willing to hire me and they're going to let me do what it is I'm supposed to be doing for a living? And they're doing everything they can, as near as I can tell, Megan, to blame everything except their policies.
Well, of course, because the Democrats will never admit that their policies are catastrophic failures. They just believe that throwing more money at the problem or taking money away from the police would solve the crime issue. That certainly hasn't worked. Many of their policies have not worked and actually had a deleterious effect. The road to hell, as they say, is paved with good intentions, and it's been a long road of hell when it comes to Democrats. Policies, and we're only 100 or so days into this administration. I lose track, but we still have basically 1,000 more days to get through this administration. Whether or not Joe Biden will be around during that time is highly unlikely. But Kamala Harris, all of a sudden, I don't know if you saw this, is going to hightail it to the border as borders are.
Yeah.
She hasn't bothered to visit during the time that she's czar, but it comes right before Donald Trump is going to arrive as a guest of Governor Abbott. I'm sure that that timing is just coincidental.
Sure, they had nothing to do with each other. Don't be silly. I wonder, though, because Joe Biden and his company have been so active in loading these border detainees, I don't know, for want of, they're illegal immigrants, loading them into planes and flying them all over the country and dumping them off, even to the point of putting them up in 4- and 5-star hotels, you're probably not going to see things like 700% capacity at some of these places like we did earlier. Maybe she feels like it's safe to go to the border. And I would suspect that the willing press, the lapdog media, is not going to show the conditions down there. They've had the ability to do that any time, and they haven't done so.
Well, of course not. Lauren Boebert,
Yeah, that's right.
From Colorado, she just basically proposed a resolution to censor Joe Biden for his dereliction of duty when it comes to securing the border. When you think of the federal government outside of waste, fraud, corruption, and abuse, their main and their primary job is to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. I encourage everyone to listen to what Lauren Boebert said to the press, which was just released. Under President Trump, I believe it was 13 illegal aliens were allowed to remain in this country and then apply, you know, and go through the proper channels within his last 13 months of office. Just in these first 3 months of Joe Biden retaining office, over 20,000 have been released. And if that wasn't enough, he's allowing 10,000 more illegal aliens who are staying in Mexico to reapply for entry. And, you know, we have to think of the border in this respect. We're detaining tens of thousands of children in those concentration camps, as AOC once called them, but we don't hear much from AOC. We're detaining or letting out tens of thousands of illegal aliens, as you point out, somewhere in America. They're being flown without IDs to whatever destinations they so choose. I can't fly without an ID. Now, these are about 100,000 in total that we've either detained or released. How many haven't we caught at the border?
Yeah, exactly. And when you think about that, you can also think about the amount of fentanyl that is finding its way into this country, the amount of human traffickers that have gotten away as a result of all of this. You know, they're not doing people any favors here. I know they think they are. They're not doing people any favors here. But, you know, Kamala, here's the thing, and I'm excited about Kamala going to the border. I want her to go to the border. I want her to go and I would prefer she not come back. Can she just stay there? Can we just send her there and just leave her there for the next 3.5 years? If we could do that, I'm on board with this trip. Hold on, Megan. We're chatting with Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, the Birmingham Broker Hotline. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're chatting with Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com is a good place to read her stuff. And, I see today where the White House is limiting reporters' access to Joe Biden because he made a couple of missteps. I always see him saying, oh, they're going to get mad at me, or I shouldn't be answering these questions. And I keep thinking, you're the freaking president of the United States. Who are you answering to that's scaring you to the point where you're saying you shouldn't be answering these questions? But they're now, you notice for the past couple of days, he has not been accessible to the press, and that seems to be by design. Today he's going to give this speech, and I guarantee he's not going to take questions. What do you think is going on here?
Well, if there was ever a time where we should be considering removing a president from office, it would be now. There was a report this week, I believe, or late last week, where the President Trump's former doctor, as well as only 13 other congressmen, there should be hundreds more, asking Joe Biden, requesting that Joe Biden take a mental cognitive test. I think we should all have confidence, right, in our leader of the free world, our commander in chief, to do the job that he was supposedly elected, I say implemented, in doing. And we kind of knew that the Democrats didn't believe that he was all there in full capacity. when early on in his presidency, they were asking or requesting that he share the nuclear codes with other people. Yeah. That really didn't instill a lot of confidence in me.
Yeah, that and the fact that he gets sent out with a list of reporters and sometimes like seating charts and circled pictures. And you're like, what are we on, romper room here? What's going on? Oh,
yeah.
God. He didn't have a lot to say about the SB1 going down. I'm sorry, the For the People Act. I should call it by its proper name. It was clearly a bill that was for the people, as long as the people are all Democrats who are running for office. That thing went down in flames in the Senate yesterday, 50-50, not a shock to anybody, I would think. I didn't get the kind of feedback from him that I thought we were going to see, some sort of fiery rhetoric. We got it from Chuck Schumer. And apparently it's not going to lead to the discussion about doing away with the filibuster like they wanted it to. Was that the whole plan? Did that plan collapse along with this?
Well, it did collapse because Kristen Sinema, the Democrat from Arizona, even said that she found it outrageous, or at least hypocritical, that Democrats were calling to end this filibuster when Democrats have used the filibuster in the past. And also Joe Manchin also threw a wedge or a roadblock into the filibuster issue, as well as the For the People Act, H.R. 1 and SB1 or S1, by meeting with Joe Biden over the weekend, according to reports, and saying that he might get on board if they put in voter ID. Now, what I don't understand is that over a majority of Americans, including Democrats, want voter ID, but the Democrats, supposedly the For the People Act, didn't require voter ID, even though a majority of Americans want voter ID. Also, according to a Rasmussen poll that was issued, I think, today, reported today, said that over half Americans believe that the election was rigged. 1 in 10 Democrats believe that Joe Biden was not elected fairly. 1 in 10. A majority of Americans, I think it was 62%, believe an audit that Biden's attorney general wants to stop in Arizona. So we're all for, Americans are for forensic audits. Americans, a majority of Americans are for voter ID, yet the Democrats can't get on board with voter ID. Why? Because they believe that people of color, black people, Hispanic people, et cetera, are just too stupid to get an ID or bring an ID with them to vote.
Well, that's not why, and you know it. It's because they can't cheat, then. If you have voter ID, it makes it harder to cheat. Look, yes, majority of Americans are in favor of voter ID, 80% of the Monmouth poll I saw yesterday. 55% of Americans think that transgender girls, a.k.a. boys, should not be competing in girls' sports. Men should not be competing in women's sports. When asked to list their priorities in terms of importance, the vast majority of Americans place global warming somewhere around 73rd on their list. And yet this administration is pushing all three of those things: no voter ID, transgenders in sports, global warming, oh, we got to put the Green New Deals together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're flying in the face of what the majority of Americans want. And I guess when you get 81 million votes and the most votes of any president in the history of the United States, you get to do those things, huh?
Right, yes. 81 million people supposedly voted for this demented pawn. I think a majority of Americans have a hard time believing that. But yes, when you are running basically a totalitarian regime, you can ignore the will of the people. And this is exactly why the Democrats wanted to federalize elections. Where else do you find federalized, nationalized elections? Oh, in great places like Iran, Cuba,
Venezuela.
Correct.
Exactly.
Your typical cast of communist characters. So the Democrats are not doing what their 81 million constituents voted for.
Nope.
They're doing exactly what they want to do.
Pretty common. Pretty common. Hey, thank you for your time as always. We'll do it again next Wednesday. Hope you have a great week in the meantime.
Thank you. You too.
There's Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. ReaganBabe.com. Read her stuff there.